For this morning's public reading of God's Word, turn with me to Luke chapter 6 this morning. The Gospel of Luke chapter 6. Remember that Luke was a Gentile, and thus he is the only Gentile writer of Holy Scripture, especially in the New Testament. Luke chapter 6. He was also a doctor or a physician by trade, and he is someone who on Paul's second journey is going to eventually hook up with Paul and accompany Paul on his journeys. And sometimes Luke will be left at a particular city to do follow-up, if you will, while Paul continued on in his journeys. And I believe when Paul is at the end of his days, in 2 Timothy 4, he says that only Luke was with him, I believe. So Luke stayed faithful to him all the way up until his martyrdom. Luke chapter 6, verses 46. Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49. We conclude chapter 6 then. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. So God, Jesus, is going to give us a symbol. He's going to give us a sign. He's going to give us a for instance. If you are someone who comes to Christ, hears his sayings, and has a desire and a hunger and a thirst to do those things to please Christ. Verse 48, he is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it. Why? For it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and do it not. For the person who says, I'm not going to pay any attention to you and to your Bible. I am not even going to consider Jesus' claims as God in the flesh. And just blows you off the screen. Jesus said, such a one, in verse 49, is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Please be seated. I find today's reading very appropriate because right now we are in the middle, actually the high point of hurricane season. And I've been watching on YouTube, not only in America, but around the world. There are so many massive floods right now going on in Spain, France, Germany, China, parts of Southeast Asia. Parts of South America, where there is so much rain falling that cities are basically, looks like lakes with just buildings coming out of the water. Cars floating down in such rapid procession that they're actually meshed and mashed together as a floating mass of automobiles bouncing in the water. And then we have pictures of the hurricanes that have hit Texas and Florida. And you see as the hurricane comes in, it pushes that ocean water forward. And you look at that beachfront property. The homes that are not built on those stilts, they are easily washed into the ocean. And you see those poor homes just collapsing under the power of that water. And then you look at those homes that are right on the beach, but they're on those stilts. So those poles have been dug deep into the ground, a firm foundation. And they built that home on top of that foundation. Now, there might be damage to the roof, but the superstructure, the house itself is still standing. Because the waves couldn't bring it down. Any damage is done by the wind blowing. And so in verses 46, we have people today who accuse us of preaching lordship salvation. Well, part of that problem is because some of these individuals are premillennial dispensational. And one of the results of premillennial dispensational teaching by C.I. Scofield, John Nelson Darby, and people of that particular persuasion is an anti-clerical, anti-church, and an antinomian spirit about them. Since we're no longer under the law, you can take the law of God and throw it out the window. That's what the original premill dispensationalists taught. large chunks of the Bible don't even belong to you if you're a Christian under the church age, supposedly. That means you chuck out the whole Old Testament, you chuck out the four Gospels, you can't even preach from the Sermon on the Mount, because that's millennial, that's Jewish, that's for yet for a future day. But here, beloved, Jesus is talking to the masses and says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Beloved, when you come to Christ, I got good news or bad news. It all depends on how you want to eat it or how you want to drink it. You must accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There's no such thing as you coming to Christ and just get your fire insurance, get your ticket out of hell, and then you can live your life any which way you want. And then when you're older and you're more settled, now you're going to make Jesus Lord of your life. Beloved, you don't make Jesus Lord of your life. Number one, He is Lord. You receive Him as your Lord and Savior. We don't chop up Jesus. Jesus is not divided. Okay, even the Apostle Paul mentions that when he deals with the Corinthian division and the schisms within that particular church family. Is Christ divided? Was his question to the Corinthians. And there are some today, we have to throw the same question. Are you preaching a Christ who is divided? Christ comes in two different compartments. Savior, free ticket out of hell. Lord, then I'll do what he wants me to do later in life. No, he's received as both. And then he begins to amplify that in the illustration that he gives in verses 47 to 49. He brings up only two people. Now notice carefully. He doesn't bring up an illustration for what's normally called today the carnal Christian. There's not a third option in verses 48 to 49. There's only two options. The one who builds his house properly and the one who doesn't build his house properly. There's no room for someone who builds his house half good and half bad. That just jumped off the page. You don't find a third example here, do you? Which many today make room on, they make allowances for all the people who've made so-called professions of faith, but you don't see them no more. Some may even go as far as getting baptized. They may come to one or two or three services, and then you don't see them no more. And when somebody asks, "Well, where's brother so-and-so?" "I don't know, but he's saved. He walked the aisle, and he said the sinner's prayer. He mumbled a few words. He at least is... got his out of hell card. But he's not here with us. He's not worshiping us. That's okay. He made a profession." No, that's not what Jesus here is teaching. This person builds his house, builds his life, and he digs deep and he lays his life on a deep, solid foundation, which is none other than Christ and his word. And then when the floods come and the streams come and the wind come and beat upon him, when he faces adversity and persecution for the sake of the gospel, he's not like the second ground hearer who gets very offended at the word. He gets very offended on being a disciple of Christ, that Christ demands self-denial, cross-carrying, and following him, probably into a jail cell, probably into your own martyrdom. "Oh, we don't like that. That's simply too rough." And such a person backs off and falls off the wagon. You don't see him no more. But he's made his decision. He's going to heaven still. You can't take that from him. Well, beloved, I can't take away from him what he doesn't have from the very get-go. He's not truly saved. And when all this persecution and all the heartaches of life are thrown against that person in verse 48, he doesn't defect. He doesn't become a Judas. He doesn't become a Demas. He doesn't become like those disciples mentioned in John 6 and 66. And then finally in verses 49, we have the individual. When you go to the parable of the sower, that is reflected in the first hearer, the third, and then the first, second, and the first and the third hearer is being described here in verse 49, I believe. "He that heareth and doeth it not." Notice the Blessed King James, the two verbs, heareth and doeth, end in ETH. That denotes that the tense, the Greek word in the tense, is continual action, ongoing. It doesn't show up for 2 hours on Sunday, and then it dies the rest of the week. This person doesn't hear, doesn't do, doesn't follow, doesn't obey, makes no preparation, doesn't flee to Christ. and thus he builds his foundation on sand. And beloved, when you watch those hurricanes come in with those 10, 15, 20 foot waves, those big swells come in, a lot of that beach, a lot of that sand on that beach is eventually taken out in the ocean and finds its way to the bottom of the ocean as silt. And that's how many people are today. They reject the gospel, they reject Christ, they reject the scriptures, they reject the heart pleading of a parent or a grandparent or a friend or a co-worker pleading with them for the sake of their souls. And that person just simply blows them off. But notice the sad ending to verse 49. The ruin of that house was great, monumental, a true disaster. Great was the ruin of it. Well, beloved, I hope and pray that you're not that foolish. I hope and pray if you're hearing me, you're being described in verse 48. But if I just got done describing you in verse 49, can I encourage you? Can I plead with you to consider the claims of Christ? Pick up a Bible and read the four Gospels and get acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ. Find out who he really is, written by those who were with him, eyewitnesses who ate with him, sat with him, cried with him, prayed with him, supped with him, saw his miracles, heard those gracious words in his parables or in his sermons, heard his confrontations with the religious leaders. Can I get that much out of you? Read the four Gospels and discover who the real Jesus is. And by doing so, fall in love with him. Well, may God truly bless his word. Amen.